بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، صلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Ali Atai. I'm coming to you from the New Zaytuna campus, a place where teaching and learning will happen of sacred knowledge, inshallah ta'ala, by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm here to speak to you about fasting in the Judeo-Christian tradition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. That fasting has been prescribed upon you just as it was prescribed upon those before you. And the Mufassireen, the exegetes of the Qur'an here say that the people who came before us, this is Ahlul Kitab. And Ahlul Kitab literally means the people of the book. And the word Bible in Greek, Tan Bablion, means literally the book. And this is important. Now, there's an axiom amongst the ulama that says the merit of a thing is known by its objective. And the objective is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, to increase us in taqwa. And part of having taqwa is guarding against disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this involves what's known as mushahada, being conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed watching us, and also muraqabah, to be vigilant of His watchful eye, as it were, and to watch our behavior, and to watch what we say and how we think and how we interact with one another. So this is something that's mentioned in the books of Ahlul Kitab as well, and that part of having taqwa is not only being conscious of God, but to be conscious of God's creation. And when we're conscious of God's creation, we can empathize with people who don't eat on a daily basis. And when our empathy increases, we have compassion. And when we have compassion, then we have the attributes of all of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fasting is not something that comes out of thin air, as it were. It's not something that Islam or the Quran invented. It has deep Abrahamic roots. In fact, the word for fasting in Hebrew and in Aramaic respectively, which are the languages of Moses and Jesus, peace be upon them, respectively, is also tsom. It's pronounced the same, tsom. And this is mentioned dozens of times in the Old Testament. For example, in Psalm 35:13, David writes, "Inati batsom nafshi," that through fasting I have humbled my soul. So there are deep Abrahamic roots in fasting. There are also typologies of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the Bible as well, related to Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, which was in the month of Ramadan. If you read the book of Isaiah chapter 29 verse 12, it says the book is given to one lo yada' sefer, who doesn't know a book, who is unlettered, and it shall be said to him, qara in the Hebrew language, which is the exact cognate of the imperative iqra, which is in the Quran, and he shall answer lo yada'ti sefer, I don't know the book. And this happened during the month of Ramadan. We also know that when the Prophet wasallam, he was in Medina, he noticed that the Jewish elements in Medina, the Bani Israel, they were fasting on Yomi Ashura. This is the 10th of Muharram, the 10th day of the first month of the Islamic calendar. And back then, this day was referred to as Asara bi Tishri by the Jews, which is also obviously the 10th day of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. Now, these days used to match back then. And this day is also known as Yom Kippur. Now, in the Christian calendar and the Christian era, the Jews began to use an intercalary month, so these days no longer match. But back then, Yom Kippur and Yomi Ashura were perfectly aligned. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he also encouraged Muslims to fast on this day in commemoration of the events that happened in the lifetime of Musa alayhi salam. So this is interesting that Muslims actually fast on the authentic Yom Kippur. In Matthew chapter 4, we are told that Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he would go to the wilderness to fast before the gospel was revealed to him. And the Greek says something interesting. It says, Kai nesteusas hemeras tesarakonta, kai nuktas tesarakonta. He was fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And of course, devout Christians will commemorate this fast. This is called Lent, from the German Lenz, which means springtime. In Latin, it's called the Quadragesima, which literally means 40. This is a 40-day fast. The Roman Catholics will begin fasting Lent on Ash Wednesday and they'll stop on Holy Thursday if you count the Sundays. And there's difference of opinion whether you count the Sundays or not. Now, the most dominant opinion in regard of how to fast for Christians in this time is the opinion of Thomas Aquinas, who basically said, generally, you stay away from meat, eggs, and dairy. But there are other opinions as well. Socrates Scholasticus, who was a 4th century Christian historian, he said at his time some Christians would not eat or drink all day long until evening, which is very similar to the Muslim fast. He said some would eat, he would not eat and drink until midday. Some would only eat and drink bread and water. So it's a difference of opinion. But the dominant opinion here belongs to Thomas Aquinas. And of course, Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, as understood by the Gospel of Matthew, his 40-day fast in the wilderness was only to mimic what had happened with the prophet Moses, peace be upon him, when he was on Mount Sinai and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذْ وَعَدْنَا مُوسَىٰ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَىٰ, that we had appointed for Moses 40 nights. And the great medieval Jewish systematic theologian Nahmanides, he says very clearly that when Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, he did not eat nor drink. And for Nahmanides, that's sort of a foreshadowing of the pneumatically oriented bodies that all of us are going to be resurrected into, and what he calls the Olam Hava, or the world to come, Al-Akhirah. So the number 40 is very significant in sacred history. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his 40th year when he went to the cave on Laylatul Qadr. He went to the mountain of light. 40 is a holy number. Probably the equivalent of the Summa Theologica in the Islamic tradition is the Ihya Ulumuddin by Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, probably the most comprehensive exposition of classical Islam ever written. And there's 40 books. The ulama used to say, if you don't have the Ihya, you should sell your lihya, sell your beard to get to the Ihya. So the 40 days is something that is confirmed. And the Prophet, we know, was protected from idolatry for those 40 years. Now there is also something called the Didache, which is a very interesting document. The Didache in Greek literally means teaching. Most scholars of the New Testament will date the Didache to about 100 or 120 of the Common Era, right around the time when the Gospel of John was written. And most scholars will actually say that the original Didache was written in the Syriac language, which was the language of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. This document was actually lost until 1873, when it was rediscovered in a monastery. The Didache represents the teaching of the actual disciples of Jesus to Gentile Christians. And one of the interesting things it mentions in the Didache is that Christians from this very early period, they used to fast twice a week. And in Luke chapter 18, we are told in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector that the Jews at the time of Isa alayhi salam, they would also fast twice a week. Because that's one of the things that the Pharisee says. He says, Nesteo dis tu sabbatu, I fast twice a week. And he was saying that because he was bragging about himself. Now we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also would regularly fast twice a week. And according to some of the schools of jurisprudence, this is considered a mustahab, or recommended fast. He would fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Also mimicking what the Jews had been doing since the time of Isa alayhi salam, and what the Christians were doing as well in the early part of the first three or four centuries of Christian history. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was asked, why do you fast on Monday? And he said, Yoma wulitu fi, this is the day that I was born. Why is he fasting on Thursday? He said, on Thursday, this is when the deeds of the sons and daughters of Adam are presented to their Lord. And I want to be fasting when my deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, also in Matthew chapter 6, Isa alayhi salam, during the Sermon on the Mount, he gives teachings with respect to fasting. And he says something interesting here. He says, Hotan de nesteu ete me geniste hos hoi hypocrate. He says, when you fast, don't do it like the hypocrites. How do the hypocrites do it according to Isa alayhi salam? They walk around groggy and tired so that people will think they're fasting, and then people will come to them and say, hey, are you fasting, brother? They say, yes, I'm fasting. Oh, mashallah, you're such a pious person. So he says, wash your face and anoint thy head. And then he says, kai hapatersu, so that your father, right? And here, what he means by father is not his literal father. This is very important. When Isa alayhi salam taught the Bani Israel how to pray, he said, avunna vashmayo nithqata shmuch, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He didn't mean this in a literal sense. This was not something that was Orthodox Christianity until the church synods, ecumenical councils in the 4th century. In the 1st century, when Jesus refers to God as his Father, he means that he is the Rabb. He is the master. He is the sustainer. He is the one that we have a personal relationship with. So he says, your Father in heaven Hablepon en to kraifeo apodoseiso. Your Father in heaven will give you in secret. Right? So this reminds us of a beautiful hadith Qudsi, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kulli amali ibni Adam lahu illa siyam. Every action of the son of Adam is for him except fasting. For innahu li, for that is mine, wa ajzi bihi, and I will reward my servant for that. This is something that no one knows we're doing except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course there are health benefits to fasting, reducing your caloric intake, reduce the risks of obesity, which is the number one killer of Americans. Which is really interesting is Dr. Mark P. Mattson, who is the chief of neurosciences at the National Institute of Aging. He says that intermittent fasting, what does that mean? That means fasting every other day has significant health benefits for you, reducing the bad cholesterol in your blood, reducing the risk of heart disease and cancer, slowing the aging process. And of course we know from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the most beloved type of fasting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this intermittent fasting, which is called the fast of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. These are just some of the things to think about when we engage with the non-Muslim friends and neighbors about fasting, that this is something that is found in their traditions as well, and this is something that is a unifying factor for all of us. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.